This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Anish is filling in for Wes. He's on vacation this week. Wes will be back next week and good to go. I, on the other hand, will be at spots unknown. So that's the deal. All right, let's go around the ACC, Anish. Again, we're going to cover everybody today, as we always do on this show. We'll start with women's lacrosse. North Carolina has been nothing short of awesome, and that continued against James Madison. Heels take care of business. League, of course, no surprise. Five of the eight teams left in the quarters of the NCAA tournament are from this conference. But North Carolina taking care of business is no surprise. It will be shocking if they don't win the national championship.
Yeah, they'll get Stony Brook, and Stony Brook's a pretty good eight seed. But North Carolina on another level. I think it's fascinating that the only ACC team to lose so far was Virginia. And they lost to another ACC school. So right. Notre Dame beating Virginia was ACC on ACC crime. But it's been a banner year for the league on the men's and women's side. North Carolina right now, to me, hands down, clear favorite. Jamie Ortega, Katie Hogue, Taylor Marino, their goalie. They have so many pieces, and there is no weakness. And you know, teams in the ACC that saw them multiple times couldn't beat them. I don't see somebody outside of that league who has not seen this type of superpower. I don't see them beating Jenny Levy's team. This is a UNC women's team on an all-time trajectory.
Seems that way, doesn't it? I mean, like I said, we've been surprised before. It's sports. It's why we keep score. It's why we love to watch and see how this works out. But they are certainly the team to beat. You mentioned Stony Brook will be up next for North Carolina. Syracuse, they got by Loyola Maryland 20-8. No surprise there. The Orange are incredibly talented as well. And as expected, the ACC teams had a really, really good weekend.
Yeah, with Syracuse, the most impressive part of their season, they lose Emily Harshuk, they lose Megan Carney. Their two best players out for the season. They're still rolling. They've got Tyrell, who had 10 points, 7 goals, 3 assists. They beat Loyola handily. They'll get Florida, which will be a challenge in the quarterfinals. But again, this is a 3 seed that got to the ACC championship without their best players. Gary Gate, their head coach, is basically the Babe Ruth of lacrosse. I mean, he's the godfather. He's the guy, like men's, women's. Who's the greatest lacrosse player of all time? It's Gary Gate. He can coach, and he can coach up schemes. And from an X's and O's perspective, people I talk to say Gary Gate is as good as it gets. And the fact that they're doing it without their two best players says a whole lot.
Syracuse moves on. They have Florida, as you mentioned, coming up. The Gators are the 6th overall seed in the tournament. Syracuse is a 3 seed. You mentioned the only ACC team to lose was Virginia. The reason they played ACC member Notre Dame, 13-8, your final in that department. Again, eventually it's going to kind of feel like another sport that we've talked about all season long, where the ACC is so top heavy with so many good teams that eventually you may end up playing teams that you certainly know of because you've seen them during the regular season.
Yeah, it was just early in the tournament, and so that's kind of what jumped out. But you look at what Notre Dame did in its 2 games, they handled Virginia with ease. In the first round, Notre Dame beats Robert Morris, and you don't even have to be a lacrosse fan to see the value of this stat. Robert Morris had 11 shots the entire game. Not shots on goal, just shots, and 21 turnovers. That speaks to what Notre Dame's been doing defensively this year. They shut out Robert Morris. You like lacrosse because there's goals and people score and it's not 1-0. Notre Dame won 16-0. They pitched a shutout in lacrosse.
You know what? I still think 16 is better than 0. I don't care what it is. I can at least be entertained when somebody scores 16 times. When you give me 0-0, you better find it for me at 0-0. We're going to get into some nils later on in the show, which were not happy times for the ACC in another sport, but I'll get to that later on. Let's talk about Boston College, because I think of offense, I think Charlotte North.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, she's been on the show. She's a riot to talk to, and man alive, is she dynamic. Now, she's got ball in hand. It's going to find the net. She just knows how to score.
15 goals in BC's opening round wins, first and second round. She had 7 in one game, 8 in the other. She's the best player for my money in college lacrosse, men's or women's. Plays with style, plays with swagger. You know, it's Diana Taurasi and Pete Maravich put together with a splash of Mario Lemieux. Just the way she plays, the flair that she plays with, began her career at Duke. She again, that BC team with Charlotte North and some of the young talent they have, they could potentially get North Carolina in the semifinals. They're going to have to go through Notre Dame first, which won't be easy. But if they get there, again, you know, that's the one game where BC, even though they fell short against UNC earlier in the year, you say, all right, for all the talent North Carolina has, you have that one individual player in Charlotte North who will be the best player on the field. And if you've never seen women's lacrosse, watch BC, watch Charlotte North, and be prepared to pick your jaw up off the floor.
It's a 4-5 seed coming up next with BC and Notre Dame. A little ACC action, which will be fantastic. Finally, Duke held on to beat Maryland 13-12. And you had a sense that this was going to be tight, right? I mean, it's just kind of felt – anytime you see Maryland in lacrosse, you know you're in for your hand. You're in for it, right? Maryland knows how to play. Doesn't matter if it's the men's team. Of course, we know that they're coming up with Notre Dame this upcoming weekend. But Notre Dame and Maryland going to get after it. But, man, this was a great match. Duke takes care of business. They move on, and they'll get the number 2 seed Northwestern coming up next.
And that will be a challenge. You know, you start to wonder how many of these ACC women's teams can get into championship weekend, can get to the Final Four. Carolina's going to get there. They're a big favorite against Stony Brook. You got Notre Dame and BC, so you're guaranteed one. Syracuse, even without their two best players, still has a great shot against Florida. Duke against Northwestern will be a decided underdog. Northwestern had a great season. Again, conference-only schedule in the Big Ten. This will be a challenge for Duke.
All right, switching gears, because I know we got Shelby Walters from Duke softball coming up. And what about the softball, right? Now, we're going to get into a little bit of everything here. Duke wins their first ACC championship, but 5 ACC teams earn bids to the NCAA softball tournament. And I know for a fact that the folks down there in Tigertown aren't real thrilled with their seating. Now, listen, it's cool that you're in. That's the deal. And once you're in, really, the number beside your name doesn't matter. You got to go play. But I got to be honest with you. The 5 teams that got a bid, congrats to all of them. But I thought Clemson's seeding seemed a little scratch-your-head moment where they're heading to Tuscaloosa to take on, of course, eventually Alabama, who's the number 1 overall seed. Actually, they're the number 3 overall seed, but they're number 1 in the RPI. But congratulations to all 5 ACC teams. Florida State will be hosting. Duke is top seed, but they'll be on the road in Athens, Georgia. You see right there, Clemson's going to Tuscaloosa. Notre Dame's going to the University of Kentucky. And Virginia Tech goes cross-country to Drew Brooks' country, to Tempe, where Arizona State plays. Regionals, again, Thursday through Sunday. But my initial reaction was congrats to all of them, but I was a bit surprised where the committee put Clemson. That surprised me.
I was too, because that's the one team you don't want to play. Alabama, they got Montana Fouts, one of the best pitchers, if not the best pitcher in the country. Bailey Hemphill, just the 1-2 punch that Bama has on the mound makes them such a tough out in this tournament. And so, you know, your reward for a good season, go play the number 1 team in the country. Go play maybe the prohibitive favorite to win this thing. Go face, you know, 2 of the best pitchers and 1 of the best pitching rotations in the country. So you feel for Clemson. And that's as tough a draw as there is right now.
Yeah, I was surprised. But, you know, again, I'm not in a committee. I'm not exactly sure how all that stuff works. Sometimes that's true whether we're talking about the NCAA men's basketball tournament or softball or whatever the case may be. Here's what I do know, though. I do know that you'd rather be playing than on the couch. That I do know. That I know for a fact that that is true. And I also know no matter what the number says beside your name, once you start a tournament, it really does not matter. I mean, yeah, you may have to go play on the road. So what? Again, it beats the alternative being at home. But are there easier roads to win a championship? Sure. No question about it. But you got to go win them. Right, Anish? It really doesn't matter if we're talking men's lacrosse, softball, the college football playoff, or anything in between. once you're in it, you have a chance. And so there are five ACC teams locked and loaded moving forward. We mentioned Florida State earned a top 16 seed for the seventh consecutive NCAA championship. It's their 33rd NCAA bid in program history. I know they're bummed out with how it turned out, the ACC tournament, even the regular season coming in second place. It's so unknown for Florida State not to just go ahead and just sweep everything. But you know what? There's still going to be a tough out once we get to the next level.
Yeah, and to your point, you know, with Clemson, to go back to that, what impact did the ACC championship have on the Tigers if they win that game? And it was a nail-biter against Duke. Had they won that game, conference championship, do they end up somewhere else?
Again, I wish I knew the answer to that. I wish I was a fly in the room with the selection committee trying to break all that stuff down. But, you know, it's kind of cool, though, the fact that, hey, this is their first full year, win the ACC regular season. I know they're disappointed not winning the tournament. But, man, give Duke all the credit in the world. And speaking of Duke, I mentioned Shelby Walters is going to join us coming up. And what a cool story, right? I mean, all the hype leading in that tournament was, hey, we're going to finally see Clemson and Florida State play for the first time since dirt. I mean, they were the 1 and 2 seeds. But at the end of the day, it's the Blue Devils that won the championship. And that's why, like I said, it's why we love sports, right? Doesn't really matter. We can give me all the stats and woulda, coulda, shouldas. Hey, man, we're going to go keep score, see how this bad boy goes. So quick break here. We'll come back and we'll talk about Duke softball. They win the ACC tournament in dramatic fashion, knocking off Clemson 1-0. And we'll talk to Shelby Walters, front and center, in the circle, breaking it down for us as Duke goes on to the NCAA tournament. All that's coming up next. Packer and Durham, presented by New York Life, right here on ACC Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Cable throws over, and Duke has done it in only their fourth year as a program. The Blue Devils are the ACC champions.
Packer and Durham presented by New York Life. The Blue Devils got the hardware. Let's go to the bottom of the dog pile because I hope she's okay. Shelby Walters joined us from Durham because Duke's heading to the NCAA tournament. There she is. Shelby, first of all, good morning and congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Good morning to you guys, too.
All right, so let's get into it. You win the championship, so you're bottom of the dog pile. Everything come out okay? Everybody's no injuries? Everybody's all right?
Everybody is sound and, you know, doing good. Still just trying to pinch ourselves and say, is this real? So...
Well, it is, and that trophy will collect us for decades upon decades upon decades as the first one, and that's got to feel pretty cool, right? I mean, this is still a really, really young program, and Florida State has been the standard for everybody in this league, but you know what? You'll always be able to say, guess what? We won the first one here at Duke.
Yeah, it's an amazing experience to be able to say, you know, that we did that, and it's in our fourth year, and I mean, we kept saying, you know, like, we can do this, and Coach was telling us before the game, just, she was like, I feel like the it's been written already, it's just how we get to that page in our story this year, and yeah, she really just gave us the motivation to go out there and do it for the team.
Shelby, you guys were having a pretty good season last year when everything went away. How did that fuel you and your team to actually now finish it out and have a chance to play in the NCAA tournament?
Yeah, last year, we joked that I think that was like the worst thing. More like worse than a breakup, honestly. Like that was worse than any sort of breakup you could have gone through just because, I mean, that's what you fight and work for all year long. And for that just to be taken away, it was heartbreaking. And so we came into this year and we said, you know, we have something to prove. Like, we got to make it to where last year just wasn't a fluke. Like, we weren't getting lucky. And, I mean, I think this year that we've done such a great job of proving that every single aspect of the game wasn't a fluke, whether it be pitching, hitting, defense. Like, we're showing up and we're getting things done and we're all playing for each other. And trying to prove that, you know, this is a game-tested and ready team, and we're ready to perform on the big stage.
Shelby, all the talk heading into the tournament was Clemson, Florida State. They've never played. It's 1-2. Florida State's the standard. Clemson's kind of this new cool toy with Valerie Cagle, and they're so great. I mean, they're fun to watch. Comeback wins. Did you get a sense of, hey, listen, we can play with these guys. Why is anybody not talking about us? Did you use that for motivation?
Oh, definitely. After we beat FSU, there was talk going around that everybody was like, oh, you know, FSU and Clemson's going to be like the game to watch. And we were kind of like, well, what about us? Like, you know, we want to be the game to watch. We want to be on the big stage. And when we got out there, we're like, we're going to show everybody that, I mean, we can do this. Like, we're going to win it. We're going to win it for ourselves. And we're going to prove everybody wrong on this.
Shelby, you guys have been on a tear to finish the season, what, 15 wins in a row, but yet hit a little bit of a midseason slump. What changed for you where you were able to get on this roll down the stretch?
I think for us going through that midseason slump, it was, one, we were playing great teams, and we just weren't playing for ourselves, really. We were trying to play to numbers and just the expectations that were coming with the season. But we hit a point the first game of Louisville after we dropped the first game of the series, and Coach pulled us together the morning after before we were getting ready to play the doubleheader, and she said, you guys have a choice here. Right now you are treading water on this just deserted area, and you have two options. You can either swim to safety, or you can just hope and pray to God that this life raft is going to save you. But the thing is, there's no life raft coming. So you have one choice, and that choice is to swim. And we were all just like, you know what? She's right. Like, we're going to swim. We're going to keep swimming. And, yeah, we were just the whole entire series just being like, just keep swimming, like the Dory thing. But, yeah, I mean, it was just the motivation that we needed to be like, you know what? Like, no, like, we work for this, and, like, it would honestly be a dishonor to everyone on this team for us not to do what we came here to do.
Shelby, it seemed like you might be the only team that figured out Valerie Cagle. I mean, granted, you scored one, and that was all you needed. But even in the regular season, I still remember that Duke-Clemson series where both of you were on crazy win streaks, and it had this hype and buildup to it. And, you know, you won the first two. They won the next two. But you got to figure going to that championship game, all right, Valerie's in the circle. Hey, the first to get a score here is going to win this game, right? There had to be an interesting pressure as a pitcher heading into that title game.
Yeah, Valerie Cagle is, like, one of the best pitchers that we faced this year. And mad kudos to her for what she has done this year. We kept saying that during that game that, or at least the hitters anyway, were saying that her balls look like wiffle balls coming in there. But again, like, I think that that game, yeah, it was a pitcher's match until the very end. And I think that both sides did such a great job. And Peyton and I were sitting there in the dugout, and we were just like, you know, like, we can do this. We can hold them. And that's honestly been just our thing the whole year, is like, we can do this. You know, I got your back, you got my back. And you need me, I need you. Like, we're here for each other, and we're going to do this for each other and for this team. So, yeah, and the hitters were just bound and determined to score at least one on her. So, yeah.
That's all it took is one.
Mm-hmm.
Shelby, we showed video earlier in the show of Valerie Cagle's bat breaking, a metal bat. What was your reaction when you saw that?
I didn't even know it happened when it, like, was the at-bat, because she hit that to Jay, and I'm yelling at Jay to go two, but then I look, and she's not really, like, running out of the box, and so I was like, okay, like, go one, I guess. And so we were just all confused on what was really happening during that. But yeah, watching the film afterwards, we were like, oh wow, it like literally hit her in the neck. So, I understand why she didn't run, because I probably would have sat there and been like, ow, but
Forget swimming.
Have you seen that before?
Forget swimming.
Have you seen a metal bat break?
Forget swimming. How about the bat to the back of your neck? That'll straighten you out in a millisecond. I guarantee you. Forget that. Let's switch gears, though, Shelby. You got the title. Now that's rearview mirror. Like I said, that trophy will collect dust for decades upon decades upon decades is the first one. Now it's on to bigger and better things. You're the 13 overall seed. It's now time for the NCAAs. What's the mindset moving forward?
Attack. That's been our motto the whole year, is we're going to go out there and attack. And I think that this team is so ready, that we have put in the work. And as soon as we found out that we were the 13th seed and we were going to Athens, well, I, for one, was, like, so happy, because I'm like, you know, we're going down to home state and, you know, get a little home cooking maybe going here. But, yeah, this team, we're just all so excited for the opportunity, one, and just the ability to still compete. You know, a lot of people's seasons have been over, and we're just playing for each other now, playing for the seniors that, after this is all said and done, will hang up their cleats and, you know, playing for each other.
Now, how far is your hometown from Athens? I know you were telling us before, your hometown's pretty small, so Athens must feel like, what, Atlanta compared to your hometown?
Yes, yeah. Athens is about hour 15, hour and a half from my hometown. We used to drive down when I was little and watch the Georgia games and watch, like, Chelsea Wilkinson, Brittany Gray, and all of them compete. And yeah, as soon as we found out, I called my mom and I was like, did you see the show? Like, did you see where we're going? And she was like, oh my gosh, like, you're coming to Georgia. She was like, I'm calling, like, just calling the whole family. Like, we're going to get the Walters and the Whaley clan all together. And I was like, oh man, like, it's going to be a family reunion down there. And I got people from high school texting me. Yeah, it's going to be crazy.
That's awesome. I'll tell you what else is cool, and I just saw this about you. The last 5 or 6 years, you've been an active member of Save a Lab. I want you to talk about that, if you don't mind, because at my feet right now as I sit here talking to you is Fuller, who is a rescue lab. And I am a dog lover. I know you are. There's Fuller down there by my feet. Chester's over there sound asleep on the Roger Goodell chair, but... Fuller is sound asleep right here at my feet. So, Save a Lab, how'd you get tied into that? And I know you've got to have a love affair with dogs, like the rest of us.
Oh, man, dogs are just, I really think that it's just a human soul that's been put into a dog. I mean, you look at them, they're just, it's a person, basically. I honestly couldn't tell you, I don't remember exactly what year it was that we got involved, but we had a stray that came up to our house, and of course, my mom, being the lover that she is, she's like, oh, we can't leave it. We can't leave it. Come to find out that she's pregnant. So we have this litter that is born at our house. And my mom, actually, there's a crazy story that goes with this. There was one of them that kind of came out a little slow to the world. But she literally gave it, like, mouth to mouth, just trying to, she was just like, I won't let it die. But yeah, it was just a crazy experience. And I mean, we raised these eight labs. And then my mom, like, got involved with the program, and they're amazing. I mean, they work with their foster parents that they have and provide supplies free of charge to, you know, whoever's fostering. They have, like, donors and everything like that. And then once they, like, got to the age where they could be adopted, they come and pick them up, and they get to go to great homes. I mean, my mom still follows some of the owners on Facebook, and I mean, we see them literally having, like, birthday parties for these dogs and, like, taking them to the beach. And I mean, it's just a great program for what they're doing to, you know, take these basically, like, stray dogs that honestly you don't know what would have happened to them before, and put them in these loving homes and, you know, really let them have a good chance at life.
Man's best friend. I can vouch for that. That's a very, very cool deal. All right. Before we let you go, though, our traditional question to every student athlete, since you've been at Duke University, What has been your hardest class?
Well, Duke classes in general are no walk in the park. But being as though I'm pre-med, I would have to say probably Orgo was honestly a kick in the butt. I'll give it some credit. And I know everyone's always like, Orgo. So to this day, I'll never understand it. It was just a kind of hope and pray to God to get through.
What is Orgo? Pardon my ignorance.
Oh, just organic chemistry. Just.
Oh, okay.
Reactions and all that sort of stuff.
I love how you treated that class like a batter, like Orgo. Oh man, Orgo! You treated that class like it's been hitting it in the gaps against you all day, and I just want to strike it out one time.
Yeah, that's the big 2 hundo that comes up and it's playing like God's Country or something. That's our walk-up song, and you're just like, Lord, please let me just get like a single or like a pop fly out of this girl, please.
I love it. Well, listen, congratulations to you, the ladies, the staff. To win that first championship is very, very cool. But I know you're not finished. Like you said, you're still swimming and heading back home to Georgia, which will be great. So we look forward to following you along and stay healthy, and we wish you the absolute best.
Thank you so much, guys. It's been a pleasure to be on.
You got it. Shelby Walters, Taking Care of Business, ACC champion, underneath the dog pile, saving pups, save a lab. I mean, how do you not love Shelby? I mean, that's what it's all about there. Orgo.
Yeah, I love what you said, though. You know, we're dog people. We lost our dog a few weeks ago and had to say goodbye after a long time. Mm-hmm. And just about dogs having that human soul. I think true. They unlock part of your soul. And Pack, I was not a dog person before I met my wife, and she had a dog and a German Shepherd, and you grow attached to it. I just think it's really cool what she's done with her cause, because, man, I look back now and I said, man, how were you not a dog person? Like, what did you not get? Because there's nothing better. I mean, we don't deserve dogs. We do not deserve dogs as human beings.
They're the best.
They're on another plane.
Yep,
they're the
best. I'm with you on that. Quick break. We come back. We're going to switch gears from Duke softball winning an ACC championship to arguably as hot a team as there is in ACC baseball. That is the Florida State Seminoles. Fresh off another series win, Mike Martin Jr. joins us next. Anish is filling in for Wes this week. He's on vacation. It's Packer and Durham right here on the ACC Network.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Welcome to Packer and Durham, presented by New York Life.
No rescue dog there. That's Chester running the show. All right. Speaking to the rescue, how about Florida State baseball? They have been smoking down the stretch. Another series win over the weekend. They take 2 out of 3 against Clemson. We go down to beautiful Tallahassee, Florida, where Mike Martin Jr. joins us live and ready to roll. Coach, first of all, thanks for getting up with us. And I'll tell you what, now, middle of May, ACC tournament right around the corner. I know there's still some unfinished business, but your baseball team, after a crazy start, is really playing well right now at the right time.
Well, thank you. We're excited. We are playing better baseball. We've cleaned it up defensively. The pitching staff's been there all year. We've got a little link to our lineup now, and guys are gaining some confidence.
Mike, what was your reaction when you found out that you weren't one of the 20 potential regional host sites, which I know surprised a lot of folks?
Yeah, we were disappointed, to say the least. Our guys have played a very difficult schedule. The fact that we only play 50 and everybody else, I shouldn't say everybody else, but the SEC can play 56. And, you know, our RPI wasn't, and nobody's RPI in our league is where it should be. And it's a shame because, our fans are great. They show up, they're very supportive, and they deserve postseason baseball.
Well, I know this, though, Coach. You know, at the end of the day, you still got to go play. You still got to go win to get to Omaha, whether you're in Tallahassee or not. And that can certainly be something chip on shoulder moving forward. But I just like the way your team's playing and battling. You finally figured out, somebody in this league finally figured out how to take a series from Notre Dame. I thought what you did this weekend, too, coming back yesterday late, showed a lot of character about what the confidence level is right now in your club. Like I said, I think you're playing your best baseball right now when it matters the most.
Well, I think so as well. And, you know, it's been a journey, to say the least. And, you know, the guys have just bought in to, you know, staying regardless of injuries, you know, stay the course, whatever teams throw at us, whatever type of conditions it is. I mean, we've got some really good leadership on the club with Matt Nelson, Reese Albert, Chase Haney. I mean, there's a bunch of guys that that really get it. And, you know, we're excited. We're, you know, the position we're in.
Coach, you got a big bopper who, when he gets a hold of one, man, Elijah Cabell can send it to the moon. From your vantage point in the dugout, describe what it's like when Cabell puts the ball in play.
It's a different sound. You know, you hear that all the time, guys in the major leagues. And, you know, yeah, we're using aluminum bats, but it is. It's a totally different sound. And, he doesn't hit any wall scrapers. You know, everything he hits, when he gets it, you know it. And the dugout erupts just as soon as he catches one. And he's one of the big reasons why we're playing better as well.
I know Parker Messick's been out of
sight. He got a haircut, right?
Uh-oh. Haircut. Watch out.
Yeah. He did. Coach, didn't he get a haircut hours. And that turned to see?
He did. And it was a big haircut. I think it took 3 hours for him to get through all that hair. And, you know, the guys, of course, were loving it. And he did start playing a lot better once he got that haircut.
You know, coming from Anish, that might be a good sign, because Anish is about 3 months past due, and he's got another one coming up maybe in a couple weeks. But, you know, I was going to mention that, you know, Parker Messick's been out of sight. He was on the show not long ago. But, you know, Matt Nelson behind the plate, Coach, you've had some unbelievable catchers. And being a San Francisco Giants fan, I don't need to go crazy about Buster. But this Matt Nelson, when we had him on the show, I felt like I was talking to a 28-year-old that's already in the major leagues. He just seems like he's got total command of, number one, how you play the game, but also this team. Talk about Nelson, if you don't mind, because he really seems to be a special player.
He is special. He's a special person as well. Him and Buster, I tell anybody that will listen, they're extremely similar in that, you know, the way they treat people, the way they go about their business, their work ethic. You know, it's just, it comes natural to him, and, you know, it shows, because everybody wants to be around him, and those type of guys are hard to find. It's not a me with Nelly at all. It's all about the team, and, you know, what can I do to help us win? You know, there's going to be days he's going to beat you with his arm and his glove, and he can run. You know, obviously the power's there. He's the total package.
Who does he remind you of?
He runs better than Buster did. You know, Buster probably had a little bit more arm strength. But, you know, it's just, when you say the total package, it means a lot. Because when you go in that clubhouse and you're there, you know, for 6-7 straight months with people, you want certain guys in there. And that's why I think he's, you know, a first rounder. And I think he's going to play in the major leagues a long time.
We had a great time with your dad for years and years and years. How cool is it watching your son having a big year? It's got to be unbelievable.
It is. It's stressful at times, as you can imagine. Thank goodness he is playing well, and he's a good player. That's why he's here. It's not because he's my son, you know, but he's doing things the right way. He's learning as we go, and he's a tough nut, and he's tough to get out. And he's playing a very good first base for us as well. So, you know, we're just excited, again, where we're at and, you know, what we feel like we can be.
Coach, what does Tyler do at the top of the order? Because watching him, the way he grinds out at-bats and can work counts and see a lot of pitches, what does that do for the rest of the lineup when that's your leadoff hitter?
Yeah, the seeing the pitches, you know, is the critical thing for the whole, you know, guys that are in the lineup to be able to, you know, to see what the guy's got. And, you know, when a guy's seeing 6 pitches on average and at bat, and I think he literally is in his career close to, you know, somewhere around that number. That's big to get off to a good start, so guys know what to expect when they get in there, and, you know, not striking out and getting on base and doing exactly what, you know, you need a leadoff hitter to do.
We had Elliot Avent call us on the show Friday. He was walking around Pittsburgh and giving us a tour of the ballpark and Roberto Clemente statue, and the people were nice and all that stuff. And he went up there and swept Pittsburgh, who's been a great, great story nationally, much less in the ACC. As hot as your team is, you're catching an NC State team that's smoking hot, too. I get a sense I may see you guys again when you get to my hometown in Charlotte here in a couple weeks. But it's a big series coming up this week.
Oh, it is. And, you know, for whatever reason, they were very similar to us early on. They couldn't put it together. They had some injuries, you know, had some guys having to play different positions. And, you know, we talked to pro guys, and all of them said the best team in the league is NC State. And they're still saying that. And now they're proving it. So, we've got our hands full. We're going to be up for the challenge. We've got to play solid baseball and, you know, just get after it.
Well, we look forward to it, Coach. Listen, keep up the great work. We look forward to seeing you here in a couple weeks in Charlotte. But like you said, still some unfinished business between now and then. But your team's playing great. We appreciate you joining us this morning.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You got it. Mike Martin, Jr., baseball, Florida State. Noles are rocking and rolling. By the way, speaking of baseball, we got you covered coming up this week. As a matter of fact, we're going to finish up the regular season with this three-game series that starts on Thursday. That'll be number 15 Louisville. They host Miami at 6 Eastern right here on the ACC Network and the ESPN app. We're also going to have game two of the series Friday at 6 and Saturday's finale in a noon start. Regular season coming to a halt this week, and then it is tournament time in the Queen City. That's the game plan. Big weekend of baseball coming up right here on ACC Network. All right, when we return, we'll talk about some things that happened over the weekend. We got rowing, we got superstitions, we got all kinds of stuff, and fun in the upstate. We'll get into all this stuff and your phone calls too. 844-SAY-ACCN. That's coming up right here. Packer and Durham presented by New York Life.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Yes, I am a very superstitious player.
Not a little stitious, very superstitious, but like when I was younger playing basketball, I had a sweatband that I always put on, but and that got pretty gross, so I had to outgrow that superstition there a little bit.
I have to put on my uniform a certain way.
We sort of have a police escort to every game, and that was something I always thought was very cool, but for whatever reason, that police escort is always made so much cooler when you listen to rock, like heavy metal music in the bus. You know, every time that sort of police escort takes off and you see the motorcycle cops riding down the street and we're all following around and, you know, there's fans cheering on the side and you got some AC/DC, you know, blaring through the ears. You know, it does a good way to get the blood flowing.
I have to put my game shorts on first.
So when I'm serving, I'll like bounce the ball once with my left hand and then hit it once with my right hand and then bounce it three more times and then spin it and then it's like, okay, I'm ready to serve.
Then my game jersey.
I always have to have four tees in my pocket whenever I'm playing golf. I don't know what it is, but gotta have four tees in the pocket.
Put on my right sock first and then my left, and then after that I'm pretty good.
So I definitely have a couple of superstitions, the biggest one being something that came from high school. In 2015, the greatest musical of all time, Hamilton, came out, and I was just obsessed with it. And there's one song, it's called My Shot, that I just have to listen to before every single game. If I'm not listening to it, then I am throwing away my shot to win the game. If I don't sing it, don't rap it, then obviously nothing's gonna go right in that game, and I definitely feel uneasy when I don't sing that song.
Superstitions. I checked that out. By the way, tonight, 8 Eastern, the 52 postgraduate scholarship winners will be featured in our one-hour special, No Limit, the ACC Salute Scholar Athletes. Katie George, the coveted invite, and EJ Manuel host this show, bringing together the best and brightest student athletes from all 15 schools. That includes interviews about their passion for athletics, academics, and current issues. That's tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern Time right here on ACC Network. All right, speaking of superstitions, Anish, we got any? Just curious. From a broadcasting perspective, you got any of those?
Yeah, I got two. So the two big ones, before any broadcast, I need hot tea. Hot tea. I mean, if I don't have hot tea, throws me off kilter. So one of the things I do, if it's leaving the hotel, they got tea, I'll grab a cup of tea, or we're doing football, they kind of know, all right, you know, the one thing Anish needs is hot tea. Football, usually get one at halftime too. And then the other one, and this is a big one, chapstick. Like, I got to have chapstick with me. Like, I got one sitting right here. If I'm going on the air, I need to have chapstick nearby. So those are the two things, hot tea and a chapstick.
So regardless if it's the middle of the summer, I do. Regardless of the middle of the summer, it could be 98 degrees, you still go hot tea? Still? Doesn't matter.
Yeah, I was doing Little League in Waco a few years ago in August. 95 degrees, 103 degrees, hot tea. Like, it's just got to be hot tea. I don't know why.
I'm a hot tea guy, yeah, too. I'm with you on that. I have all kinds of superstitions. I have started one on this show, believe it or not, that Rachel Keen, when she joined us, the Wake Forest women's golfer, sent us a two on two. She played punters number two, and everybody that made a two, they got a coin, and she won. Had so many twos that week for the North South, she had one extra, so she sent one to us. And so every day before the show, I flip over from a heads to a tails on the show. It's just kind of I flip it over. It's like, all right, that's kind of starts the show. And I love to collect wheat pennies. So I hate the penny. I don't even understand why we use the penny anymore. But every time I get change back, I always check to see if I get a wheat penny. So I have amassed a collection.
What's a wheat penny?
A wheat penny, if you look to the back of a wheat penny, it has a different formation as opposed to what you would have on a normal penny. And they're old. They don't make them anymore. And I don't think they're worth.
Okay.
There may not be. Maybe they're worth 2 cents as opposed to a penny. But I just look for wheat pennies. And so every time I have one, I put it in my bag. I have a collection of wheat pennies upstairs. So that's just a nuance that I do. A little goofy. Stupid.
So you're the guy at the deli counter, right? Like you're paying with cash. They give you your change and you're checking the pennies. You know what? Hey, can I exchange this for a wheat penny? Do you have a wheat penny in the register? You're that guy?
You know what? Here's what I do, dude. I know this is stupid. You know, sometimes you go to a Circle K or a Quick Mart thing and there's always like a little plastic shelf where there's always like three or four pennies that people just kind of put them in there. Because I hate pennies. I get rid of pennies unless it's a wheat penny. But I will look in there in case somebody just throws a couple in there and just, you know, look around, just see if there's a wheat penny in there. But that's my thing, looking for a wheat penny.
Wait, you're
stupid.
You're stealing pennies out of the penny tray?
No. I will trade you. I don't keep pennies. Anytime I get change back, and it includes pennies, if they have like a tip jar or any loose change, I give it to them. You can keep the pennies. A drive-through. The drive-through is $9.11. I give them a 10. I know I'm going to be getting back 4 pennies out of that deal. I will look at the pennies and go, you can keep the pennies. Unless it's a wheat penny. Then I keep it. Again, they're not worth anything. I mean, I don't think they are. I'm not doing it for an investment. But I just like to look for wheat penny. And every now and then, it kind of surprises you. You'll come across one of those deals. You're like, oh, man, I got a wheat penny. My wife looks at me like, oh, you're such a zero. So, whatever. It's my thing. My thing. So between that and Rachel Keene's
wheat pennies,
Pinehurst number two coin, we flip over for good luck for each show. So there you go. All right. Speaking of fun of the weekend and collecting pennies, Dabo Swinney collected a few this weekend for a charity, which was all wonderful. $1.15 million was raised at the Dabo's All In event. And his wife, Kathleen, all their volunteers, they do an unbelievable job. John Gruden was there. I told you he was an absolute hit. First time he'd ever made the trip. Dabo told us that on Friday's show. And there's Dabo in his new sport coat, which looks really nice. Showed me he's got his name in it. When you got your name in your own sport coat, you've arrived. So Dabo was styling. Gruden was absolutely great. I served really very little purpose in the deal other than having a good time with President Clements and the rest of the folks there. Clemson folks are just great. $1.15 million raised, but Hunter Renfrow made an appearance. Trevor Lawrence, Urban Meyer, head football coach, your Jacksonville Jags. Just a huge night. And again, Dabo and Kathleen do an incredible job. And Dan Radakovich and his wife Marcy were there having a good time, and President Clements and his wife Beth. And tell you what, now it was a who's who walking around. It was a lot of fun, tons of fun.
The jacket that Dabo had, was that seersucker? I mean, that was sharp. Whoever made that for him. If you got your name on the inside, right, that means it's bespoke. Somebody made it for you. So he's got the custom collection.
Yeah, he was excited to show him. Pac-Man, let me show you, man. Pac, let me show you. And I said, what are you doing over there? Come on, let me show you something. So he just kind of did the old James Bond routine where he opens up the jacket, and sure enough, Dabo Swinney. I said, well, you've gone big time. I remember you back when, but now you've gone big time when you got your name in your sport coat. But one of the other things that happened.
They used to have somebody else's name, right? Like right. Joseph Abood. Who's Joseph Abood? Who's Ralph Lauren?
Yeah, I know.
That one's got my name on it.
Yeah, the Italian designer, Dabo Swinney, right? Whatever that guy is. Gruden, like I said, they were like two kids at a candy store having fun in Clemson Town. I told you, I think Gruden's glad to get back to Vegas because Dabo was keeping him up way too late. And Gruden couldn't hang with the Sweeney. So one of the cool things that happened, though, was the infamous running down the hill and Dabo giving John Gruden a little instruction of how to get over the hump and not tear an ACL. Here's the video of Dabo coaching up Raiders coach John Gruden.
Hop a little, hop a little. There you go. There you go. Now you got a little hump.
That rock did it for me, baby.
Unbelievable.
That hump, man. I'm telling you, I've run down that hill before. And when we've done Clemson games and our crew will come down, we said it at the beginning, there's always one person, oh, I want to do this, I want to do this. And hey, there's a hump. I mean, that I'm surprised. I really am. Every time I see it, I'm surprised. I hold my breath. I'm surprised that there hasn't been an incident.
I'm with you. I'm not to mention 80,000 screaming, the band, the noise, the adrenaline. You're getting ready to go
the balloons,
play, everything. Yeah, it's nuts.
Hop a little, hop a little.
There you go. Listen
there you
to
go.
This.
There you go. Now you got a little hump.
That rock did it for me, baby.
What did Brent Musburger call it? Right, the 25 most.
Exciting seconds in college football. Yep, that's exciting. What Musburger coined it. The rest is history. By the way, we'd be remiss without saying happy birthday today to North Carolina men's basketball coach Hubert Davis, celebrating a big day today. So congratulations to coach there in Chapel Hill, new man in charge, and Hubert having a big birthday party in Chapel Hill. And for Hubert's sake, I hope everything works out in the transfer portal because I know it changes on a daily basis. Minute by minute. So hopefully he has a great transfer portal day and a great birthday. So happy birthday, Hubert Davis, celebrating like a big rock star there in Chapel Hill today. And you're good to go. All right, when we return, the Power Hour gets cranked up with the best of the weekend. We got a bunch of good things, and of course we'll have the worst as well. And we'll take phone calls if you're in the mood at 844-SAY-ACCN. But best of the weekend, worst of the weekend. And Kevin Corrigan, going to talk about Notre Dame men's lacrosse. All that's coming up in the Power Hour. It's Packer and Durham, presented by New York Life here on ACC Network.
Packer and Durham.